Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Yu. Coming up in this edition, Vladimir Putin has won a landslide victory in Russia's presidential election, cementing a fifth term in office. Israel's prime minister has reiterated his determination to attack Rafah despite international pressure. And the humanitarian situation in Haiti continues to worsen as large areas of its capital are still controlled by gangs. We begin with Russia. Russian President Vladimir Putin has won a landslide victory, cementing a fifth term in office. He has thanked the voters, saying that the result will allow Russian society to consolidate and become stronger. But Putin also acknowledged some of the challenges lying ahead. Mikhail Bardovit has details from Moscow.
Early results show that incumbent President Vladimir Putin will remain in power at least until 2030. Russians voted for their president over the course of 3 days, and Russia also managed to carry out voting in areas it calls new territories in Ukraine for the first time. On Sunday, long lines formed at voting stations, partly as a symbolic protest against the election by supporters of the late opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Overall turnout was reportedly more than 70% of eligible voters across 11 time zones. Putin's re-election and constitutional changes 4 years ago could potentially mean that Putin could stay in office until 2036. With the election over, Putin is expected to focus on Moscow's special military operation in Ukraine. Fighting between Russian and Ukrainian forces continued over the weekend, with both sides claiming attacks on the other. Moscow's operation in Ukraine has triggered unprecedented sanctions from Western countries that have hit Russia's economy. But the Kremlin says these sanctions have failed to deter Russia and instead have mobilized the country's internal economy. Putin has also vowed to tackle poverty in the country and has pledged to lower the poverty rate to 7% by 2030 from the current 9.3%.
First of all, I want to thank the citizens of Russia. We're all one team, all the citizens that came to polling stations and voted. Once again, I want to say this is very important. This has no formal character. The source of authority in the nation is the Russian people.
On Thursday, in a speech to the nation, President Putin acknowledged that the country is facing challenges in all areas. The presidential race may have been an easy win for Putin, but it appears a difficult term lies ahead.
That was Mikhail Bardovit on Vladimir Putin's re-election as Russian president. Meanwhile, Russia's defense ministry says its forces have intercepted 35 Ukrainian drones over 8 regions overnight on the third and final day of the presidential election. Megumi Lim has more from Kyiv.
According to Russia's defense ministry, the drone attacks were carried out in the Moscow, Belgorod, Kaluga, Oryol, Rostov, Yaroslavl, and Kursk regions, but were shot down by air defense systems. The governor of Belgorod said one man was killed and 11 people were wounded in shelling carried out by Ukrainian forces in the Belgorod region. And in a separate attack in the region, the governor said a 16-year-old girl was killed after a shell launched from Ukraine set her house on fire. 4 houses and 8 cars were reportedly damaged. The attacks were carried out as Russia conducted its final day of presidential elections. Ukrainian authorities have so far not commented on the shelling, but Ukrainian forces have claimed responsibility for the recent wave of attacks that have been carried out against oil refineries in Russia. According to the Security Service of Ukraine, a dozen oil refineries in Russia have been hit in recent days, with the latest one carried out overnight on Sunday against the Slovyansk oil refinery in Krasnodar Krai. Russian media reported that at least one refinery worker was killed. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said in his nightly video address on Saturday that, quote, "This week has demonstrated to many that the Russian war machine has vulnerabilities that we can reach with our weapons." Meanwhile, in Ukraine, 2 Russian missiles hit the southern city of Mykolaiv, wounding at least 5 people, according to the regional governor. Russia has so far not commented on the attacks.
That was Megumi Lim reporting from the Ukrainian capital. Turning to the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has repeated his vow to attack Rafah despite international pressure. Israeli wartime and security officials met on Sunday ahead of the departure of their delegation for Qatar for a new round of truce talks regarding a hostage deal with Hamas. Sam Metnick with the Associated Press has more from Jerusalem.
Netanyahu is defying growing international criticism, saying that no amount of pressure can stop Israel from achieving total victory in this war. Recently, United States Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer had called for Israel to have new elections. President Joe Biden has accused Netanyahu of hurting Israel because of the high death toll in Gaza. But still, Netanyahu has vowed to plow ahead with the offensive into Rafah. He has said that if Israel stops the war before it's achieved all of its war aims, then it is going to lose. Let's listen to what Netanyahu had to say.
It is no secret that the international pressures against us are increasing. There are those in the international community who are trying to stop the war now before all of its goals are achieved. They do so by making false accusations against the IDF, against the Israeli government, and against the Prime Minister of Israel. They do so by trying to bring about elections now, in the midst of the war. And they do this because they know that elections now will stop the war and paralyze the country for at least 6 months.
These comments come on the same evening that Netanyahu is expected to send a delegation to negotiate in Qatar. This was a new proposal put forth by Hamas. There would be three stages to the ceasefire if it were to go ahead, and it would see the exchange of hostages for Palestinian prisoners being held in Israel. But while the deal would mean an end to the war, it would still mean that Hamas would remain in control of Gaza, and that is something that Netanyahu has said that he will not accept, and he has called the proposal unrealistic. Meanwhile, the mood in Israel is becoming more and more frustrated. People are becoming angrier as time goes on. On Saturday night, thousands of people took to the streets in Tel Aviv. They were protesting, calling for elections, as well as calling for the government to figure out a deal to get these hostages home. They have been protesting for months. Last week, people blocked a highway going into Tel Aviv. They were holding cardboard cutout signs of some of the female hostages who are still being held. Earlier this month, people protested outside the United States Embassy in Tel Aviv, asking for President Joe Biden to do something. There were about 250 hostages taken when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. About 120 were released during a weeks-long ceasefire in November. 130 remain in Gaza right now, but Israel's government has said that approximately a quarter of them are dead.
That was Sam Menek reporting on the latest developments of the Israel-Palestine conflict. On Monday, Israeli forces launched another raid on the Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, accusing Hamas militants of using it as a base. Gaza's health ministry says Israeli army attacked the hospital on Monday morning, directing gun and missile fire at a building used for specialized surgeries. The ministry says about 30,000 people are sheltering at the hospital, including patients, medical staff, and people who have fled their homes seeking safety. In Haiti, aid agencies in the country say the humanitarian situation continues to worsen as gangs remain in control of large areas of Port-au-Prince and major roads. The UN Children's Agency UNICEF said on Sunday that an aid container with essential items for newborns and mothers was looted in the capital. Its executive director, Catherine Russell, said they are unable to get enough aid to many people now suffering from serious hunger and malnutrition. Dan Collins has more from the Dominican Republic's border with Haiti.
The situation is in a limbo and the power vacuum in the country continues. A couple of days ago, the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, said that they just needed a couple more members to complete this transitional council of a total of nine members. But we're now hearing from Port-au-Prince that key factions are refusing to take part in the transitional council. The idea of the council is to bring together all political parties and factions in Haiti to make the decisions about who will be the interim president and elections going forward at a date in the future. There haven't been elections in Haiti since 2016. The situation on the ground is that because of the lawless and violence in the capital city and the fact that the gangs have a stranglehold over the seaports, the airport and the roads in and out of the capital, it means that medicine, food can't get in, or it's at least controlled by the gangs, and it can't get out of the capital to other parts of the country. That means that food prices are being pushed up because of the scarcity, and Haiti imports 50% of its food. So this is a very big problem, and the situation of the power vacuum is only making the humanitarian situation worse, not just in the capital, but also in the rest of the country. The UN has said that 1 in 4 children are suffering from chronic malnutrition now, and around half the population of the country, which is 11.5 million, so half of that population, it is at risk of acute food insecurity, and even nearly 1 million could be facing starvation. So the situation has got very much worse.
That was Dan Collins reporting on the humanitarian crisis in Haiti. Finally, in Africa, national defense authorities in Nigeria have ordered the arrest of those behind the killing of 16 soldiers. The soldiers were surrounded and killed by young people in the country's southern state of Delta. Tessem Akande has more from Jos.
The soldiers were killed while trying to quell a clash between the Okuama and Okoloba communities in the state. Director Defense Information Brigadier General Tuku Grisau says those killed consist of 3 officers, while 12 others are of other ranks. They were part of a reinforcement team that was deployed to the area to address the clashes between the communities. Communities in the oil-rich Delta region and others in the northern part of the country have been clashing over compensation for spills by oil companies and land for grazing and farming. According to the National Security Tracker, more than 120 security personnel, including 67 soldiers and 31 police officers, were killed between October and December last year while trying to address different security concerns in the country. The authorities say some suspects have been arrested in connection with the killing of the soldiers in Delta State. They say steps have also been taken to unravel the motive behind the attack and have vowed not to be deterred in their quest to tackle crime and keep the country safe.
That was Tessem Akande reporting from Jos. South Sudan's government has ordered the closure of all schools starting Monday. The government says this is due to a wave of extreme heat in the country that's expected to last 2 weeks. Patrick Oyat has latest from Juba.
The health ministry says schools are closed indefinitely. It says temperatures are currently ranging between 41 and 45 degrees Celsius, which is not conducive for learning. The government says it is concerned that the high temperatures can seriously affect many people and cause a public health emergency. It says it has put a system in place to detect and respond to medical conditions related to the heat waves. The health and education ministries have advised parents to keep all children indoors as temperatures are expected to continue to rise. South Sudan's Environment Ministry says the high temperatures are due to the impact of climate change. It says the East African country will soon experience heavy rains, floods, and that parts of the country will experience drought. The ministry says it will continue to monitor the situation and inform the public accordingly.
That was Patrick Oyat reporting on the extreme heat wave in South Sudan. Recapping today's headlines, Vladimir Putin has won a landslide victory in Russia's presidential election, cementing a fifth term in office. Israel's prime minister has reiterated his determination to attack Rafah despite international pressure. And the humanitarian situation in Haiti continues to worsen as large areas of its capital are still controlled by gangs. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tian Yu. Thank you for listening.